neurodivergent community, their profiles are more spiky. Mm-hmm. Because in some spheres, someone can have very significant ability of to memorize, mm-hmm. or being able to remain very high level of focus on a task, mm-hmm. much higher comparing to neurotypical majority. If we can support that person, for example, during the recruitment process, mm-hmm. we can enable that person to get inside the company and take advantage of these specific skills, which are much above the average.
Hello, my name is Maciej. I'm the leader of Analytics Experience Competency Group at CNF, and this is CNF Talks, a place where experts discuss their ideas and experiences from the perspective of an IT partner. My guest today is Michał Tomczak. Hello, Michał.
Hello, Maciek. Hello, everyone.
Very nice of you to travel here from directly from Gdańsk, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
From Northern Poland, it was a pleasure to travel here.
Michał, tell us what you do. What is your area of expertise? You're a guy from the university, right?
Yeah. So I represent academia, but I try to be linked with business.
Yeah.
I am a professor at Gdańsk University of Technology and at Faculty of Management and Economics. I am specialized in human resources management. And since 2017, I am researching neurodiversity and work. Firstly, I was focused mainly on people with autism, and I was researching the situation on the labor market and developed some human resources management practices in order to support the inclusion of this group, starting from the recruitment through the onboarding and job retention.
Okay, so this is the context. We've seen that already in our area, in our business area. We know that times are changing a bit. There is awareness is rising among different clients, enterprises, but also IT partners, that the solutions that are needed to be developed, they need to be tailored to different I would say personal perks of different user groups. It's not only whether the user group is a business person or an analyst, for instance, but we are looking at their personal perks, elements of their emotional nature, I would say, thus we wanted to research or get to know the area where our tools, our solutions have and where they have a certain impact on how the people are using them, analyze data which are being visualized on, for instance, an analytical dashboard. So you are the first professor whose area of expertise is neurodiversity, first in Poland?
Yeah, I was the first one representing management. Mm-hmm. Because prior, neurodiversity, including autism, ADHD, and so on, was a focus of medical sciences. And it was completely neglected in terms of management. So, yeah, to be honest, I was the first in Poland a few years ago to start researching this topic.
Somewhere deep inside, we knew that the solutions that are being presented to a business user have impact not only regarding the performance of the solution or the speed of analysis. We knew somewhere deep inside that there is another layer of impact, which is more personal, more emotional, on the person who is using the solution. So being developing stress, for instance, or impacting the proactiveness of the person whose decision are based on the analysis of the data on the report. So back in the days, we've conducted a research, an eye tracking research. We wanted to test some of the hypotheses regarding, you know, the design decisions we made and how the certain layouts of data impact the way that people are analyzing this solution. So that you can download the initial report. The link is in the description of this episode. So this was the old research, but we knew and we developed some hypotheses regarding the impact, the emotional impact is also very important, but very hard to measure. Yeah. We knew that the stress, the decision-making process is very important, but we can't really see how the solution is impacting this area. So can you tell us a bit about neurodiversity, what it is? I know a bit about it because my son has ADHD.
Yeah.
But can you tell us about neurodiversity? What is this? How many people are impacted by this type?
Okay. So as I said, when neurodiversity issues were introduced into the management research, there was a shift in perceiving this condition. Because contrary to medical sciences, my favorite definition is the one coined by Judy Singer in the late 90s. She's seen as the first who introduced the term neurodiversity. And she says, neurodiversity is a variation in human cognition, which is a natural phenomenon. And the key word is natural. So this similarly, someone is tall or short, someone is female or male. Neurodiversity is another form of being diverse within the population. So this is very important because we do not advocate seeing neurodiversity as a deficit. So we believe the key to successful inclusion is a strength-based approach. Okay, according to estimates, even 20% of population could be neurodivergent. So every 5 people could have some neurodivergent traits and so on and so on. The largest group of neurodiverse people with dyslexia. Mm-hmm. It's about 10%. It's most prevalent condition. ADHD, it's about 4%. Autism, some estimations suggest it's about 2%, more or less. And the other conditions like dyspraxia, Tourette syndrome, it is about 1%. In total, let's say it's more or less 20% of general population.
What is the situation or the difference between awareness in Poland versus, I don't know, USA?
In recent years, I think in Poland we face like a neurodiversity boom. Mm-hmm. We can say about this. The more and more papers, both research papers and in popular media, is devoted to neurodiversity. I'm into the topic for last 8 years, so I see this huge difference. So like 8 years ago, when I was presenting my research at the conference, so everybody said, oh wow, it's very interesting, but nobody cared because I was the only one. Yeah. Now the topic has gained attention. More and more people are interested into the topic, but still, the first research and the practical projects devoted inclusion of neurodiversity were started in USA, Australia, and UK.
Okay,
but from our European perspective, Poland, we can be really proud of what is happening now, because. On the way to raising awareness, we are really much ahead of other European countries, both Eastern and Western countries. We really do a good job here.
But this is more of a, I would say, social public awareness. But in terms of business, why is it important? You said that we should perceive neurodiversity in terms of strengths or certain perks, not a condition, right? How should we approach, I would say, a business setup or developing certain tools that aim at certain strengths of neurodiverse and divergent people?
Okay, so to answer that, I would refer to a term that was coined by my great friend from Birkbeck University, London, Nancy Doyle. She told me about the spiky profiles. Mm-hmm. It's about human condition, as we describe in the definition. So each of us, we have some cognitive abilities. So based on this, we retrieve some information, we retrieve stimulus from the environment, we learn, we work, we perform, and so on and so on. So, and the majority of neurotypical people, their cognitive abilities and skills based on that are not so differentiated. Mm-hmm. So some people are better in doing something, some people are better in doing different things. But when we discuss this issue in terms of neurodivergent community, their profiles are more spiky. Mm-hmm. Because in some spheres, someone can have very significant ability of to memorize, mm-hmm. or ability to retention a lot of data, a lot of information, or being able to remain very high level of focus on a task, mm-hmm. much higher comparing to neurotypical majority. So it is some kind of strength. But on the other side, the same person can face some challenges. Mm-hmm. For example, the communications, the style of how that person communicate is not what the majority expects. Mm-hmm. So long story short, if we can support that person, for example, during the recruitment process, mm-hmm. We can enable that person to get inside the company and to take advantage of these specific skills, which are much above the average. But if we do not support this person, then he or she
will be a low performer. There will be challenges.
The same would be during the daily job. Mm-hmm. If we provide some accommodations, for example, neurodiverse friendly desktops, mm-hmm. That person can get the information, analyze some data, mm-hmm. much faster comparing to neurotypical employee.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but this is again about the awareness, right? You need to be aware, you need to be open-minded to leverage those skills which are very, very high performing, I would say, with this person. But this is again awareness. You've mentioned a study about the about companies and their maturity in terms of neurodiversity.
With my team, last year we conducted a large scale study on Polish companies, and we assessed the level of maturity within the Polish firms to employ neurodivergent people. And long story short, so maybe it wouldn't be so short, but I'm academic, so I want to provide you a background.
Yeah.
So first we did interviews with neurodivergent people successfully employed, with their managers, with HR people who were involved in recruitment programs. So we identified some determinants of our maturity model. Each determinant was transferred to a survey And we did a survey on more than 1,000 companies to check if they are major or not. Within these determinants, for example, there was a existence of a DEI department, or the presence of neurodivergent people in the company, or demand for the specific skills represented mm-hmm. By neurodiverse people. So, based on our survey on 1,000 Polish companies, only 15 companies out of 1,026.
15, only 15.
15, which was more or less
1.5%.
Okay. Were assessed as fully major to employ neurodiverse people. So the conclusion is, in my opinion, the awareness of neurodiversity is rising in Poland. We can say it's quite high comparing to other countries, but the awareness comparing to being really able to perform recruitment program, to organize the daily work in terms that are neurodiversity inclusive are completely different things. So there is still lack of knowledge in Polish companies.
I would say it's more about that people, maybe not people, because you know, socially we can be very aware about neurodivergent people, but in terms of enterprise or business, I would say most often we see challenges while working with a group of neurodivergent people rather than advantages of their certain perks that we can take advantage of and use in, for instance, for data analysis, right? Mm-hmm. If we have people yep. that can focus a lot, they can memorize, they can work with huge amounts of data, we can't really, well, as you said, 15 companies out of 1,000 companies yeah. are ready to leverage such skills, right? So coming back to the research that we did some time ago, we wanted to continue that research. As I said, we knew deep inside that there is another layer of impact that we can't really see. We feel that there is such impact, emotional impact, not only the performance of the analysis or dashboard or data solution itself, but there is this layer of stress, of proactiveness, of decision-making process. And we knew that, or we wanted to see and check how those data products impact those people, this group of people, on this emotional level. And we discussed the topic and wanted to also add this group of neurodivergent people to see whether there is a difference of how this group of people analyzes data versus neurotypical group. And we took 39 people. Out of this 39, there were 14 people who declared that are being neurodivergent of different types. We didn't type the special, you know, group of neurodivergent people just as a whole group. The research that we conducted is called emotion tracking research. So we use a video sensor, which is essentially a bit similar to the eye tracking sensor, but we are reading emotions while showing people data products. And we use the same dashboards that we did in the first research mm-hmm. because this was just a continuation. So we wanted to uncover this second layer. And what was very interesting, we were showing those dashboards. We were asking essentially the same questions. We wanted people to find a certain data, answer some very simple questions regarding the values or different numbers on those dashboards, and we wanted to see how they react on a well-designed dashboard that we knew and implemented certain heuristics and best practices. From our perspective, people who work with data, we used our skills to develop the, from our perspective, the best possible UI and UX in terms of data experience, right? But the second dashboard was a bit, I would say, worse in terms of UX. We knew that there are certain flaws and usability issues, and we wanted to see how those usability issues impact the people who are analyzing the report. But we didn't know at that time how neurodivergent people would react, right? We knew that certain elements, and you told us about that, certain elements might impact, for instance, people with ADHD or autistic spectrum. I don't remember, you told us about a certain elements that we need to take into account while designing for neurodivergent people, like we should use bold, I don't know, labels instead of regular fonts. What are these elements?
And the issue is not so easy, because within neurodiversity, we have various of groups. So
yes,
not always what is good for autistic person would be also good for person with ADHD or dyslexic. In general, it's good to, I'm not, you know, an expert in UX solution and so on. I just sharing my perspective,
of course,
based on my prior research. It's very good to, for example, when talking to people on the spectrum, to avoid very flashy colors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to use a simple colors,
mm-hmm.
Also the font should be the same for okay. all the documents. It should not be like flashy. Also, people on the autism spectrum, they prefer very straight communicates.
Mm-hmm.
So where there is a like button to mm-hmm. push, it should be labeled.
Okay.
Not like click here, or it's not a good option, because someone can be, you know, not sure what happens if I click here.
Okay.
When the button is labeled, for example, attach files.
So mm-hmm. Okay.
It's straightforward, communicate, it works better. For people with dyslexia, the good solution is, for example, not only using the text or the graphs, but also involve some sound. So
okay. Some audio description.
Yeah, yeah. Audio description, for example. For example, people with ADHD, they sometimes can prefer like bullet points,
mm-hmm.
not needing reading plain text, you know, 5 pages. They can be really happy if they can 7 bullet points to extract the most important
mm-hmm.
data.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, from my perspective, I think most of these solutions that that we discuss are very good for all the population.
Exactly.
Maybe for neurodivergent people who face some challenges, they may be even more productive, but for everyone it's good to have some bullet points and not reading all the report. It's natural.
Yeah. When we discussed those elements, I wondered that, okay, but these are heuristics, these are best practices, and which are being used for all users that are using this and those solutions. So we implemented such practices into our dashboards, and we tested this whole group. We knew which users were neurodivergent versus neurotypical users. What we've seen is, in general, before I jump into the differences between neurotypical and neurodivergent people, is that when we shown this better designed report, we generally seen better performance, less stress, less irritation, essentially we have few typical feelings that we can see on the graph when we are researching. And this solution enables us for identifying those emotions, which are very simple, which is irritation, which is stress, disgust also, and happiness, for instance, right? So we could see that when the people were answering the question and the solution was fairly easy to identify and look for the answer, we've seen happiness, we've seen little stress, we've seen zero disgust, for instance, right? When we use the, on the other hand, the worst report, we've seen a lot of disgust and a lot of, well, not hate maybe, but they were worrying about how the solution works, where they are. We've been looking for the data, but also there is an emotion called engagement, and this is where the fun starts. When we've compared results between the neurotypical group and neurodivergent group, on the high level, I would say we've seen little differences in terms of how they were analyzing the data. But when there was a challenge in finding an answer, neurotypical group usually found this answer despite the fact that it was more difficult. We've seen more disgust, maybe more irritation, but at the end, they were able to find this answer. Whereas the neurodivergent group immediately lost the attention on the product, right? So if they've seen a barrier, a challenge, they couldn't find the answer, the data was unclear, or the labels were, I don't know, complex or unclear, they immediately lost attention. It's not like they were even irritated. They just dropped the topic and went forward. Where the neurotypical groups, they could be stressed more, they could be more irritated, but they still could find the solution. So the attention span was still there. And this is the most interesting part, right? This was the hypothesis. We didn't know what to expect after this research. But this was very interesting to see that if we don't tailor solutions to certain groups, not only, of course, we need to do that in terms of data literacy, for instance, right? The ability to analyze data, I mean, with neurotypical people, but with neurodivergent group, we need to really focus on their specific skills. Because if we present a solution which is which, you know, data experience is very poor, or we have usability issues there, the most probably they will just stop using it. So we'll have less adoption. We'll see a lot of stress. We will see this disgust level, which will be impacting the decision-making process, or it will impact the productivity of the group, and will increase significantly increase the stress level of those people. And this was the initial hypothesis and this hidden layer of impact that we knew that is there. And so if you have this very high stress level, and then this decision-making process is corrupt, you are afraid of taking decisions, you are less proactive in terms of what you do at work, right? This impacts your performance. At the end, you might be perceived as a low performer because of that. And it's not your fault. These are the tools that they are exposed to, and you can't really work with them. So this is the awareness that we wanted to raise, that if you know that you are dealing with people who have certain skills, you need to tailor the solution for those people to understand it and take advantage of the data that they need to analyze. And in today's world, the data democracy, which is increasing day by day, we are developing tools for people who have a different skill set. They are not analysts. These are business people who need to work with data, because we are live in a data-driven world. And if we don't tailor the solution well enough for such group, there is a high risk that it will impact their ability to analyze, their stress level, and it could end up in those people leaving the company, for instance, because they feel stressed and burdened by the environment that they are working in. So tell me, do you see the impact or maybe this awareness in terms of Polish companies? Can you see it's, you know, it's developing? What are the challenges right now from your perspective, from your research in terms of, you know, business?
There are still some challenges, but the general awareness is on the rise, as we said. But still, the major challenge for the company on the one side is still lower awareness within the employees, because I think if we want to introduce such a solutions and to allow neurodiverse people to flourish in their roles, so all the company should have some basic knowledge on the specific conditions, skills, and based on that, what is the reason that someone is behaving like this on the other way? Because the general awareness, which is developed by the media, is different than the awareness in the workplace. So the knowledge is the biggest challenge, in my opinion. But on the other side, more and more companies putting some effort to, they're introducing recruitment programs or are providing some employee networks, like support groups. Because when I'm talking with companies or speaking somewhere at some kind of conferences for the business, I try to argue that neurodiversity, as I said before, is just another kind of diversity. Like, going back to the company. So a few years ago, there was a gender issue as a very popular thing. Then we had some age issues. So focusing on employees with various ages. Later on, the hot topic was LGBTQ+. So we have also the gay pride month and so on and so on. So if we think about this, neurodiversity is just another form of diversity.
It's I would say it's all about finding value in working with different groups of people with different skill sets, right? It's like if you have younger people, okay, they might have more energy and might have been more open-minded. They can tend to take more risk, for instance, right? Whereas the elder people who are more experienced, calmer, for instance, right? They can analyze things differently than younger people. And it's the same thing with neurodivergent people. They have different skills. Yeah. They can use their skills to analyze data better, for instance.
Yeah, the key importance is person role fit or person job fit.
Exactly.
Because not everyone will be a great sales man or sales woman. So someone with the cognitive profile or with the skills would be feeling better at the back office, not with the client. It's natural. And the same is with neurodivergent profiles. Sometimes I use the metaphor, use it's like personal note. I am 45. So when I was a primary school in Poland in the 80s, I remember one of my friends was left-handed. And what did the teacher do in Polish school in the 80s?
Trying to make him to use his right hand.
Yes, yeah,
because I remember that.
So it was something perceived like a deficit. And you want to shift you for being
normal. Yes.
Yeah. The same is with the neurodiversity. If someone prefers to communicate in a different type, like for example, autistic person would prefer non-direct written communication, comparing, you know, and not having a small talks and so on. So as long it does not disturb, you know, our communication model in a company, our performance. Who
it's
cares?
It's absolutely fine.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine. Yeah. So it's still only about the shift in mentality, I think. But when we think about it, when there is a huge talent shortage in some sectors. So maybe the shift would be easier because in some roles, some business people can think, okay, I put some effort in redesigning the communication mode, neuro-friendly desktops, and maybe my talent shortage would be lower, and maybe I can hire and provide great work settings for people who have very good skills in some certain areas. And if I match the skills with the role, it's a win-win situation for the neurodivergent people, for the company. Everyone is happy. Mm. But it's not easy, let's say. It requires some effort.
Okay, thank you very much for being with us. This was a very insightful discussion, and I think and I hope that we can do more research together in the future, testing how the data solutions work with neurodivergent groups. By the way, you can find our report link in the description of this episode, and hopefully to see you again soon to discuss some new reports.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure for me, and huge congrats for CNF for seeing the importance of neurodiversity inclusion. I'm very happy about this.
Thank you so much.